Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are winding down to the last few verses of the book of James, and we've been in a section, my friends, dealing with just life. Sometimes we're in a position where our resources make us a little bit full of ourselves, and we need to be reminded that resources are not our identity, but are rather tools that God gives us to bless others. Sometimes we're on the receiving end of some mistreatment, and it's easy to complain. It's easy to take it out on the people that we love. It's easy to grow despondent, and yet we've learned how to deal with that the last couple of episodes. And now today, we're in James 5 and verse 12, which is an amazing verse, John. Let me read it for us, and we'll just dive right into it. But above all things... So James has talked about some pretty important things in the book of James. Would you agree?
Without doubt, he has. Practical issues.
Practical issues, life issues. And now he gets to a place toward the end of his letter where he says, but hey, listen, here's the most important thing of all. So that makes me say, ooh, I want to pay attention. I want to hone in on this. So, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. Neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So give us a word about that, John, because that's a mouthful.
Yeah, you know, back in James' day, even as in our day sometimes, people would sometimes say something, but then they really were not being truthful with you. And so in order to try to show they were being truthful, sometimes they would add an oath to that. And sometimes people would say, you know, I swear by the gold of the temple that I'm going to give this to you.
But yet, today we say, I swear on my mama's grave.
Exactly, you know? Right. Exactly. Yeah, all kinds of things kids would say as they grew up.
You know, pinky swear.
Pinky swear, you know, stick a needle in my eye or whatever. Yeah, but, you know, I remember as a kid sometimes kids saying that. But then when they promised me something and then they didn't do it, they said, well, you know, but I didn't pinky swear with you and things like that. Well, in Jesus' day, some people will swear by, I swear by the gold of the temple. But then if they did not add that to their saying, then they didn't feel bound to keep their oath.
It's like they had their fingers crossed behind their back.
Exactly right. And James wants them to say, look, what you need to do is be honest with people. What you say, people need to be able to take it at your word. God is a God of truth. There is no darkness. There is no lie in God at all. And God wants us to reflect when God says something, God means it. And God wants us to be that same way. He wants us to be sure that when we're talking, we're not looking for a loophole so that somehow some kind of loophole that we can get around, that we can come back and say, well, I really didn't mean that. You know, you may have thought I said that, but we know we're trying to be crafty. And James says that that is not of God. You need to speak forthrightly and speak honestly.
Yeah, we live in a litigious age. You know, people want to sue each other, and it seems as if everything you buy, every app you download, there's always going to be terms and conditions. And I have to admit, John, I don't think I've ever read the terms and conditions. I want the app. I'm going to hit agree. Sure. You wonder how many times, to what are we agreeing? There's never good news in fine print. And you think, oh, well, this is warranted or this is guaranteed. And then when you actually want to make good on that warranty or guarantee, they say, oh, no, in the fine print. Sometimes that's why we speak to other people. We want to have these series of oaths. It's really the fine print. I didn't really mean that. I'm not really going to do that. And as you said, to your point, God wants our word to mean something. And matter of fact, above all things, the most important thing I can tell you, said James, is to keep your word. And I think the reason why the oath section, verse, is included in this section of scripture is because it's very easy when we're frustrated to say things that we shouldn't say. So here are these people that are suffering. We talked yesterday about needing to establish our hearts because we're being taken advantage of. And sometimes in frustration, we say dumb things. I think about Jephthah, who said, "Hey God, if you deliver me from the Ammonites, I am gonna sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my door on the way home." And how unwise was it for him to make that vow? So sometimes we in the moment say things that we should not say.
Yeah, that is without doubt happens in people's lives. And you know, you're right, Pastor, that often when people go through difficult times, sometimes they think if they give some kind of, you know, speech to God, "God, if you do this and I'm going to do this with my life," that somehow that will move God to act on their behalf. And people use speech wrongly oftentimes in life, but it is easy sometimes when you're suffering to not be wise in what you're saying because you allow circumstances to guide you rather than thinking what God wants us to do.
And yet those words cannot be recaptured. They cannot be recaptured. Once you, every idle word shall be brought in judgment, Jesus said. And isn't it interesting how we're coming back to words? All of James 3, and then the reason why we say things, the heart, the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4, these themes continually emerge that we need to guard our words. Above all things, guard your words. I've said this to parents. The most important thing that you can teach your children is to tell the truth, because that's the baseline for everything else in life. Yeah, even God said it this way. He said, "I have magnified my word above my name." So name in the Bible is one's reputation, that for which someone is known. So God says, my word is more important than my reputation. And I think the reason for that, John, is because one's reputation ultimately is foundationed on one's word. And so if my words aren't true, it makes no difference what people think about me, because obviously that can't be true.
That is for sure. What we say is shows so much about who we are in our character and as individual. If you lie to somebody once or maybe a couple times, they probably will forgive you. But if you continually shade the truth or you continually lie about something, people are not going to trust you. And that is why you're right that we have got to be sure that what we are saying is authentically true, that we are being sincere, that we have no agenda that we're trying to, you know, pull the wool over somebody's eye, but we are just speaking truth. We want what we say to be accurate and to be reliable.
And you really spoke to the heart of the issue, which is the infallibility of words. In other words, to the degree that my words are true is the degree to which I'm trustworthy. The degree to which people can put their faith in what I say. So, you know, obviously as human beings, we're going to fail. But the Lord, his word is true. And because his word is true, we can always put our trust in him because what he says is always true. So what is the baseline for us when it comes to the word of God? The baseline is believing God. Because when I believe God, then everything else about God and everything else that God says to me and about me is true. Sometimes I'll do a little marriage session and I'll talk about what is the most important word in your marriage. And then I'll add this, and it's not love. The most important word in your marriage is trust. Because if I don't trust you, then love is meaningless. So if I said to somebody, "I love you," but they don't trust me, then those words have no impact. So God says, "I want you to trust me first." That's the basis of our relationship with God. We come to him by, you said it earlier in the podcast or maybe yesterday, we come to him by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we come to God based upon the infallibility of his word and his promises. And then by faith, we nurture that relationship with him, well, then all the other things that God has for us in relationship and fellowship are true. He loves me. He's merciful to me. He has a will for me. But it all is foundationed on his word.
That reminds me of what Jesus says in John 8 about knowing the truth and the truth setting us free. Just earlier in this context in James 5, there were people that were oppressed. So what should they do? Well, they should rely upon what James brings out about the coming of Christ. That was trustworthy because God is trustworthy. God says, I'm coming back. And James says, you can count on that, people. You can count that God will come back. And God wants us in our life to be that same way. He wants to be followers of Christ and to be like Christ and to be like God. And, you know, Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. And the context is a little different there. But what Jesus is saying is you need to be like your Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is truth. He is always telling the truth. He's always accurate. And God wants us to be that same way that we can be examples of him to a fallen world.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I guess my question to all of us is your word truth? Because it's so easy to think about the way that we affirm or take an oath for court today. We're asked to say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's a great definition of truth. It's the truth, what is right. But sometimes we sully the truth by, well, we just don't tell the whole truth. Well, what I said was true, I just didn't give the whole story. No, to withhold part of it is to lie. Or I gave the whole story and then I gave a little bit more to the story. We embellished it. Well, that's a lie too. It needs to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God.
And God, without doubt, wants us to be examples of reliability, to be examples of trustworthiness, to be people who tell the truth, who are accurate with our speech, and we're very, and it is a very important issue. It is something that we ought to be very cognizant of what am I saying, how am I saying it? As we see people that we're talking to, we all look at them and see, are they understanding what I am saying? I want them to be sure to know what I'm saying, that this is, I'm not trying to fool them. What I'm saying, I want to be relied upon.
And let's face it, listeners, let's not act as if this doesn't apply to us. We all struggle. And it's interesting in the put on, put off passages in Ephesians 4 or in Colossians 3, but especially there in Ephesians 4, it's put off lying. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor. And then the reason is, for we are members one of another. So if I can't be truthful with somebody that with whom I share membership of the body of Christ, we're going to be a dysfunctional body. You know, if the signals from the brain aren't working in sync with what my arm is doing and my leg is doing, then I'm going to be a pretty frustrated body. And we have a frustrated body of Christ when Christians are not honest with each other. There could be no functionality in the body.
Yeah, I think of Acts 5. The issue of truth is very important to God. In Acts 5, we all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. And because they lied to the Holy Spirit, God struck them dead. God does take seriously how we use our tongue, how we use our speech. We find through all the scriptures, we find example after example where what we say is very important. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and we're to use it for life.
And it's so interesting how in modern day Christianity, we love to focus on certain applicational standards, and there's a place for that. I mean, there's a place for obviously the way we apply, but it seems like lying makes its way on every New Testament list. And how often do we just spend time talking about the importance of our words and being a trustworthy person? And that's why James says here, above all things. So my friends, I would say to you today, really search your own heart and your own words. And ask yourself the question, am I reliable? Do my words ring truth where I go? Or am I known as the person that kind of skirts around the edges? Am I the person that then I never really give the full story. People can't really trust what I say or the promises I make. Because I can tell you one thing, God remembers what you say, and so do your kids.
Yeah, that is for sure.
Hey, you know, we're going to go out for ice cream, you know, a month from Tuesday night. Believe me, you don't have to put that on your Google Calendar. They will remind you over and over again.
Yeah, and sadly, oftentimes in families, children learn how to be untruthful by watching their parents.
Sure.
And that is a sad scenario.
It really is. So my friends, you know, we didn't get far today as far as the number of verses. We just really read one verse. But I think it was important that we part there because James said, this is the most important thing I've said as of yet. Tell the truth. I hope that helps you today, my friend. I hope you have a great day in the Lord. And we will talk to you again next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.